This is a Pinball News production.
I'm Dr. Scott, the Pinball Guy, and Dr. Scott comes from a character in Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I've been performing well over 15 years as Dr. Scott with my fishnets. I have over 500 performances. And when Rob announced that the expo was going to be this weekend, I didn't know how I was going to do it because this is the big Rocky Horror weekend. And normally when I'm in town, I perform with a local cast. In fact, if you want to see Rocky Horror, it's going to be Saturday at midnight at the Music Box, which is over by Wrigley Field. And Midnight Madness does a great show. I'm going to be back in Toledo at the Ohio Theater. Saturday night is at the Paramount Theater in Fremont. And next Saturday, we're going to be performing at the Royal Oak Music Theater in Detroit. And so I've got three passions in my life. Pinball, Rocky Horror, and I've been sober for 20 years now. And hi, my name's Scott, I don't know about it. But if you've ever been to Las Vegas, I couldn't believe it. I wanted to go see Tim Arnold's Pinball Museum. There's an AA clubhouse next to his museum, and a theater that shows Rocky Horror Picture Show. So all three in one location. Talk a little bit about my store in Maumee, Ohio. This is totally the hobby gone awry. I don't have a personal collection of hundreds of machines. It all started with one machine, fixed it, and as Tom said, it's like eating potato chips. You can't stop at one. You just got to have another. And so I had a little shop down the street, which was about 1,500 square feet, and had room for maybe 15, 20 machines. And this one building on State Route 20, right by Exit 59 and the Ohio Turnpike, became available. And I've got over 100 pinball machines set up in one location. This is the front half of the store, kind of mostly storage.
So when you come in, that's what you see?
Yes. Ski balls.
No. I meant the prior picture. Yeah. Because that's what you see in Rob's basement when you walk in.
A sign?
No. Just stacks of games. That.
That's actually a stage area where a lot of those are ready to be sold. Those are ready to go.
Oh, are they really?
Those are.
Yeah.
So.
Now, wait, I saw slot machines in there, too. Do you?
Yeah, we sell slot machines.
Because you're in Ohio. It's legal, right?
Yeah, slot machines.
Now, what is your policy? Like, I'm from Michigan, where technically, you know, we're not supposed to own a slot machine that's newer than 25 years.
Right, and in Ohio, Toledo is like 15 miles from the Michigan line. And so we'll have a lot of customers from Michigan, and they get all excited when they see the slot machines. And I said, well, these aren't supposed to cross state lines. Do you have an Ohio address?
And you give them your home address in case you don't. No, I mean, really, how do you handle that? Is it something that you really have to skate a fine line on?
Not really.
No? So nobody checks?
Nobody checks.
Nobody cares?
Right.
Okay.
But
an unenforced law.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Okay.
So, Ron, just let it go on slideshow.
Victimless crime.
Well, anyway, that's not really, you know, what I'm going to talk about is the store. But the store is a lot of fun. I've been selling machines for years. The Arcade Legends is the only video game. Well, I've got a few video games, but the Arcade Legends sells quite well. It's got 125 classics in one cabinet. But a couple Pathlowers.
What are those Tommy posters up there?
The Tommy posters that were an eBay prize, they were from Los Angeles when Tommy was the roadshow. And those were transit billboards. And so I think I bought those for like $400 on eBay, $100 a piece, and I probably paid that much for the framing of them. And so anyway, eBay. Oh man, I got stories about eBay. We're finally doing eBay. I do have a pinball store, thanks to Chris Lobdell, my ace salesman. Ron Kuhn is my ace tech. We all do sales, we all do repairs. and we're a happy family. At least I hope we are. But eBay, I sold a really nice machine. It was complete, it was working, shipped it. Guy gets it. Oh, it's missing this board. No, it's not. Yes, it is. I can buy one from Steve for $100. You give me $100 or I'll give you negative feedback. And that's total extortion. So I split the difference with them and I got the positive feedback. I do containers. And with containers, you get good machines, you get bad machines. So you sell the project machines as projects, as is, where is. And I sold a game that I probably paid $600 for $300. It was a piece of crap. Guy comes into the store, he bid $300. He said, this is a piece of crap. I said, yeah, I'm not going to give you $300. Hey, you agreed to buy it. But I was so desperate for money at the time, I took it. But one thing I've learned turning my hobby into a business, I've got to sell machines. I've got to sell a lot of machines. My rent is $400 a month. My electric bill is about $1,500 a month. My gas is about $300 a month. Although gas, the machines generate lots of heat. So in the summertime, we try to keep the machines turned off a lot. And in the cooler months, we turn the machines on, and they heat the store real efficiently. And the electricity is less than gas. So a lot of places with businesses complain about $1,000 gas bills. My gas bill is maybe $200 a month on a budget plan. But I see you've got a little bit of the back room there. On the machines, we have the prices, and we put a little history about the machine. We try to say who the designer is, the artist is. And so when customers come in, we let them know that they can just have fun, look around, play a game. One of the rules that we have, and we're trying to figure out a careful balance, is you get a family coming in with a bunch of kids and they see all the flashing lights, because all the games are on free play, except the first two machines in the store are always, or one or two, three machines, are always the brand new machines from Stern. And I was hoping that I'd pick up a Wheel of Fortune here. We've got the Family Guy, we've got the Spider-Man, and those machines are set at coin operation. And we have a sign on the machine saying it is a benefit for the Ability Center, a donation, and all proceeds go to the Ability Center. Tim Arnold's got the Salvation Army, it's his favorite charity. Mine is the Ability Center, because if Tommy was real, he'd be using the services of the Ability Center because they help mainstream handicapped people. And so, one, as Nate mentioned before, is that sales are important. Chris is a natural salesperson. He's enthusiastic. His father was a salesman. He sold appliances, what, Sears?
Yeah.
And we signed up for Sales College of Northwest Ohio, which sounds like a really good idea, and it's one of the most amazing things I have ever taken. So I'm going to take this seminar from pinball and talk a little bit about sales and how to deal with people. So Chris, if you want to take over.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here. It's the first time I've ever been here. I've been a pinhead enthusiast since, I think since he opened his store. I came down and pretty much went into the store looking for something fun and didn't have a lot of money in my pocket. And I said to him, I said, I'm looking for a black knight. And he looks at me and goes, oh, it'll be about $800. $150. So I says to him, I said, I got $150. He goes, come back and see me later. And I don't know how long you guys have all known Dr. Scott, but his personality is like, okay, here you are, on, off. So, okay, well, I felt, well, he shunned me. And I'm like, no, I'm not leaving the store to, like, get something. So I said to him, look, I think he's working on a Gottlieb Big Hurt, working on some lights. And I remember it to this day. He's sitting there working on it. I said, so, what? Well, I really want a pinball machine. You don't have enough money. I really, 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 really want a Black Knight. Good. Well, how do I get it? Go get some money. I don't have that kind of money. I have $150. I don't have anything for you. You gotta have something. I've seen junk machines. I know they are out there. So I stood around. And I waited. And I thought he was gonna blow his top. And he says to me, he goes, come back later, I'm busy. I said, I don't have later. I don't have more than $150. What can you do for me? All right. I got an old junker in a barn. I've had it for about 4 years. Come back Thursday. You can come over and look at it. See if you want. Okay. So I'm excited. I come back Thursday. I was right on time. He's got it. Ew. It was a gold ball. Pink. And I'm like, okay. So I'm going to give you my money for this thing, right? Guess you got to start somewhere, right? So I said to him, I guess I'll give it a try. Well, he says, here's the clinch. He says, you can go ahead and buy it from me. But any parts that you need, you got to buy them from me.
Sounds like a drug dealer.
It was. And it was a big addiction. And I said, well, okay. And I took it home. And I brought that in my house. And my wife looked at me like I was some total idiot. And she said, what are you going to do with that? And I said, I'm going to take it down to the basement and fix it. She says, well, good luck. Well, I got it down there, and I felt like Dick Van Dyke in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I was sitting there just banging it out and working on it. I didn't sleep all night trying to get it to going. And I actually got that thing come to life. First thing it did, it came to life. And I said, oh, my gosh, you know, I got to go get my video camera. So I went and got my video camera, and I took pictures of that thing. And I got all excited, and I got that gold ball working, and I got everything working on it. And I ran into Scott's store with my video camera. I said, you got to see this. No way. You got it working? Uh-huh. You didn't buy anything. No. I didn't need anything. I just worked it out because I'm a computer engineer. And I figured I would have some fun just, you know, banging it out and see what I could do. Well, I sold it back to him. And I got a comment. And I sold it back to him. And I got a Rocky and Bullwinkle. And I sold it back to him. And I got a Twister. And I sold it back to him. And I got my Black Knight. So it all started with $150. And a lot of sweat. And I really, really love pinball. And it is a passion that has been burning in me forever. It is my life. It is my livelihood. I've completely dropped my computer engineering degree and gone to him, and I work for him full time. I run the store, and I'm, you know, managing the eBay site. I'm managing the website, and I'm managing the store. In my spare time, I am an actor and a magician and a singer. So I have a lot of fun with that, and I do that on weekends and some during the week, depending on if I can get away. But I work for a local little establishment called Random Acts, which you can look up on the internet. It's kind of cool. We have 40 different casts and different plays that we can do at any given time, so it's kind of neat. Enough of that. Anyway, the pinball has burned in my life. And it's like a giant tattoo on my arm. And whenever I play, it's a passion that I can't believe in. Last night, the sound effects coming out of that hallway up there. Oh, everybody's gone to a casino, I'm sure. Casinos are a different thing. You hear casino noises, fine. But that's the sound I grew up with. And that sound was so potent in my ears last night that I'm just hearing it, and it's awesome. And I can't wait for this afternoon. Anyway, that's a little bit about me. What I want to talk to you about is sales. And sales, of course, is the backbone of our industry. So I want to ask you a couple of questions. How many of you walk in to a store and hands in pocket and just kind of look around and look down and try to find what you're looking for? And you got some salesman that walks up to you, "Can I help you?" And the first thing you say is, "No, just looking." How many? Oh, come on. I know we don't have a coffee pot. Come on. Okay. So, quite a few of you, right? And you feel like, you know, you just want to go away, leave me alone. Let me look. Okay. Well, that's called the reluctant parent, or a state in mind that a little video goes off saying, we don't want to be bothered. We don't want to be bothered by this. We just want to take care of it on our own. That's this parent coming out in us that says, just leave us alone. Well, how many times do you get into a rapport with somebody when they walk up and they say, what is it that brought you into the store today? Well, you've got to answer that, don't you? You got to say, well, something brought you into the store. You came in for some reason. I was just driving by and I saw your sign. I wanted to see what you got. Great. What's the next question out of my mouth? Well, not how are you doing today. Fine. Now we're back into that little chit-chat and we're not going to get anywhere. My next question is, do you have a game room? Well, no. I'm looking to put one in, but I don't have one just yet. Well, how soon are you looking to get one? Now I'm trying to get an idea of when they're going to start building. Right? Well, I'm going to put one in about 6 months. Great. Now I've got an idea of when they're going to have it. What is your budget for your game room? Oh, I don't know. I didn't know these games were so expensive. Well, overcoming the objective is one of the main things in the sales program that we've been taught. And there are three key elements in the sales presentation. And those key elements are built up like a little pie chart. And they are broken down like this. What do you think the largest piece of the pie is? Anybody?
Service.
What?
Service.
Service? That's good. But the biggest piece of the pie is the body language. If somebody walks in with their hands in your pocket, and you walk up to them, hey! Whoa! They're going to back off real quick. Because that person that's walking in with their hands in their pocket and looking down is probably an introverted person that doesn't want to be attacked by an extroverted person. I am an extrovert.
Really?
I will come on to you and be your best friend, but I'm not going to try to sell you something unless you really want it. And I've been around enough to know when somebody really wants something and when somebody really is just looking. So even though you came into the store, I'm not going to jump on you like a hawk. I'm going to kind of approach you with that way I said. I'm going to ask you a few questions. And maybe if you say, I'm just kind of looking around. Well, great. I might just come back with another question. But I'm going to try to keep your interest in that pinball, or any other pinball for that matter. The 7% is actually words. How's a person speaking? A person comes in and talks to me real slow and calm. Then again, I can think of them as an introverted person. And I can also think that they are probably grasping information slowly. A kinesthetic person is a person that uses touchy-feely words, grasps the situation, handles it, thinks about it, and ponders it, and then makes a decision slowly. A visual person is a person that speaks very quickly with a lot of air in the top of their chest, and they like to get to the point, get to the point, get to the point, but they're always looking. Eyes are usually up here in the left and right corners and kind of focused. And you can watch somebody who's a visual because they're doing this a lot and thinking about things really fast. An audio person, their eyes shift from left to right, but not up and down, and usually just stay focused when you're talking. An audio person talks from the middle of their chest and usually has a lot of facts and likes to try to figure out what's going on, but doing it by touching and hearing. And pinball machine is so great because, right, we've got video, we've got audio, and we've got visual. Or we got the kinesthetic. So we got everything that's built in to reach any person. So pinball is a great example of selling somebody something using those three techniques that we are given. And then tonality is the 38% of the pie. That is the way that they're speaking and the words that they're using and the rate that they're speaking. Tonality can actually be broken down in rate, pitch, and pause. And rate, of course, is how fast. The pitch, are they going up? Are they going down? Are they monotone and just go like this all day long and put you to sleep? And how long does it take them to form the next sentence to speak? If you can pick up on all these things, you can pick up on a person's personality that quick. And if you can do that, you can usually form a very positive, what I call, response or authentic dialogue with that customer. An authentic dialogue is when you match their rate, you match their pitch, you match their body language, and you match their personality. My father could do it really well. He sold for Sears for over 28 years. He had all kinds of opportunities to go into management. He said, nope. I said, Dad, why wouldn't you do that? I don't want anything to do with management. All I want to do is help the people and know that I did a good job. And they're happy, and that's where I get my energy from. And I said, wow. And I thought, all my life, all I wanted to do was follow Dad's footsteps. Well, I did in a way, and I also didn't because I broke off and went into computers. But, you know, I came right back to where it's all at, and that's in sales. Well, folks, it's just a little bit more things I have here about the pie, and that is that everybody is a person. Everybody has these personality traits. I would venture to say, if I had to ask, how many people learn by visuality in here? Quite a few. Okay. And how many people don't take a lot of notes, but they remember what was said, and then they remember the messages just because they were there, they heard it? Okay. So we're about half and half. Now, how many people have to be told something slowly with notes and really need to think about the situation and really like to have more control of the meeting of themselves? Very few. That's right. K
Kinesthetic people, kilos, are the toughest people to sell something. But they're also the best salespeople because they know how to read a person, and they got these great antennas that come up, and they know when you're trying to BS them or, you know, if you're being genuine with them. And they just know that because they can feel it. They can feel that presence. And they either like you right off the bat or they hate you. And they aren't going to tell you that. They're just going to walk away. And you're never going to sell them anything. So, I hope that's a little something. And I appreciate this big of an audience. It's great. And I hope you all enjoy the rest of the show.
Any questions?
You want to talk
about this? Thank you much, Chris. There's a lot of information. Hopefully we didn't bore you too much. Any questions from the floor?
I guess not.
Anybody? I got a question. Scott's been here every year to try to wake you guys up. What kind of seminar do you want to see from Scott next year as far as his coffee chat?
Coffee?
Okay. That's what he asked about. What else?
Troubleshooting.
Troubleshooting, that's always good. Okay, Scott, maybe you can do some troubleshooting for him.
Okay.
He gave a great talk several years ago on my favorite talk anyways is some of the gizmos he's found in machines.
Yeah, that was last year.
Give a couple real quick things about that. That was so much fun.
Ron, you want to talk about some of the things we've seen?
I just wish I had the visuals because it was priceless.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm kind of unprepared for it. They want to do the real sales thing. I'll just push buttons over here and smile.
Well, you got to tell them about what we found in the Judge Dredd, though.
I wish I had a picture of that.
We opened up a Judge Dredd that was probably the funniest thing we'd ever seen. You know, we see a lot of funny things, but you open up the box and it's like, oh, God, you got to get a camera, you know, and take a picture of this. Somebody had actually taken all the wires, all the colored wires, and you know how many there are in that thing. And they banded them together, and these were not the grounds. These weren't the commons. They banded them together, and they drew some sort of diagram of where they wanted to put these wires. And I don't remember how many different paths there were, but they weren't going where they needed to go. And what else did we found? We found the rat.
Live or dead?
It was dead. That was kind of gross. We opened up a creature from the Black Lagoon, and we found a creature from the Black Lagoon.
I got you beat. I bought an OXO out of a warehouse and opened up, and there was an ossified dead possum.
I had the skeletal remains of a cat inside of a Phantom of the Opera. And I got a container from Puerto Rico, and I opened up a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and there was the 3-inch hissing cockroach on the transformer greeting me.
Kind of brings real meaning to walk the catwalk in the Phantom of the Opera. What else? An eBay story. Okay.
Yeah, we sold a machine to Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
And so, Twilight Zone, board crashing. So I figured, okay, the bridge rectifiers, change the bridge rectifiers, and same problem. Okay, we'll swap whole driver boards, same problem. And so on my way back, we're going to stop in Gary, Indiana, see if we can fix the problem. I think it's his wiring. It's on the same circuit with his furnace and the dehumidifier.
But yet he says that he had it completely rewired and everything, and he took everything off that particular circuit, and it was still happening. Ron came up with the idea of turning it on low voltage, and everything seemed to be fine after that. The next couple of weeks passed, and he's calling up saying the wife has hit the high score. She's all excited. She beat him. Now he has to have his chance. But when he got up to the machine, And I said, you've got to be kidding me. And we actually went down there with a new machine ready to swap it out. He refused. He wanted us to try to just fix it.
No, we swapped the machine.
I thought we did swap the machine.
We did swap machines.
Okay. Yeah, my bad. But the whole thing was that we had a machine in there in the shop, shopped perfectly. It was working perfectly. Everything was perfect on it. And when it got delivered, North American Van Lines dropped the ball. One of the drivers evidently was there with his wife, refused to carry it in when he was supposed to, so he left them in the garage, tore open the pallet, and everything fell out. While he calls up, he says, well, we don't have the white ball. I know I packed that. And that, cost us a few extra bucks to send him a new ball and everything. And then we sent him more parts, and then the next thing you know, we're sending Scott down there to do a whole, exchange for him. Well, you can't please everybody, but we're trying to do it. And we're gonna make sure that we keep on doing it because the eBay sales are pretty good, and we do want to try to keep everybody as happy as possible.
Hey, Scott, I'm curious, how are EM sales? Are they constantly going down, or what do you find?
It depends upon the customer. I probably sell 10, 20 newer machines to one EM, but when someone comes in, they're usually looking for a specific machine. Okay. Or you get someone who's just, oh, I want a cheap machine. Just give me a pinball. We got them.
All right, guys, we'll bring you a coffee next year. John?
Yeah, just one question. You had some nice pictures of some 30 machines on your slideshow. Are those from a collection, or are those
some
that you sold?
Some are from my collection. I do have a couple antiques. I've got a few.
Okay, thank you, guys.